They're the perfect combination of solid, liquid, and gas. Bubbles. When I was a kid, I thought they were magic. And to be honest, if you throw one of those neon pink containers in my hands, I am still mesmerized. Bubbles are a marvel of engineering. They're not just pretty. They have the power to do some real good, and maybe someday, in the not-so-distant future, they'll even be able to save lives. On this episode of the Oxford Sparks Big Questions podcast, we are asking, can bubbles help cure cancer? Hello, I'm Emily Elias, and this is the show where we seek out the brightest minds at the University of Oxford, and we look at some of their astonishing research and how it could change the world. And for this big question on whether bubbles could be the key to cancer treatment, I've gone to the Old Road Campus Research Building in Oxford.
Eleanor, I take it.
Good to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Following Professor of Engineering Science Eleanor Stride into her basement lab. She's an engineer who sees bubbles differently.
Scientifically, bubbles are absolutely amazing. I found it instantly fascinating. I think there's something about bubbles that we grow up with bubbles as toys and everyone loves bubbles. As a purely dynamical object, they are absolutely amazing. I mean, the mathematics and the dynamics of microbubbles are absolutely extraordinary. They're incredibly difficult to understand, so there's a lot of sort of basic scientific interest.
Her office is about what you'd expect an academic's office to look like. She's got a floor-to-ceiling bookcase jammed with papers, a computer, a really small table. But unlike most offices, she has a casual pile of bubble wands on top of her filing cabinet that she claims she uses to help explain her work to school children. Eleanor has dedicated her life to bubbles, starting out as a student, working on a project to keep them out of oil pipelines. A chance meeting with a radiologist in a common room at her university turned her attention to how you could harness the power of the bubble in the human body.
A huge problem in cancer treatment and actually a lot of drug delivery is not so much the drugs themselves, but how they need to get where they need to go. And at the moment, we don't have very efficient methods for doing that, which means if you're given chemotherapy, for example, for cancer, you get terrible side effects because most of the drug that's injected into a person ends up going to healthy tissue and not actually to the target site. So we're trying to develop methods to address that challenge. We encapsulate the drugs in tiny little bubbles. That means the drug's inactivated. We can then target those bubbles to, for example, the site of a tumour. And we wait until they've accumulated there, and we then use ultrasound or sometimes light or magnetic fields to rip those bubbles open, and so the drug's delivered locally.
Since then, she's been writing research proposal after research proposal after research proposal. Probably about 40 of these phone book-sized documents, trying to get her bubble drug delivery idea off the ground and into the bloodstream.
I absolutely did not invent this. The idea of using bubbles with ultrasound in medicine has been around for quite a long time. It was discovered in the late 1960s, completely by accident, that if you inject bubbles into the bloodstream, they massively improve the image that you can get under ultrasound. And that's because these little bubbles are very responsive to ultrasound because they're full of gas, they're very compressible. So when you put them in an ultrasound field, they start to oscillate. That produces incredibly strong echoes, and that's why they show up really well on ultrasound scans. Now, it's those oscillations of the bubbles that we're exploiting, but we're not doing that for imaging. We're doing it to control when and where the bubbles break open and release the drugs.
And Eleanor and her team have developed a pretty ingenious way of getting these bubbles to the right spot. They're using magnetism.
We need enough bubbles to be in the right place at the right time when we release the drug. And actually, that's not that straightforward. There are things we can do to stick molecules on the surface of the bubbles that will make them sticky to particular types of cells. So, for example, cancer cells will express certain proteins on their surface, and we can target the bubbles to those. Unfortunately, it's not very efficient, or at least so far, no one's made this work terribly well in the body. We're trying to help that process along by making our bubbles magnetic. So we incorporate magnetic nanoparticles into the bubble coating. That then means we can use a magnetic field to accumulate the bubbles in a particular region before we burst them open. And we can use that in combination with this biochemical targeting.
We still solder things and do conventional engineering as well.
Across the hall, there is a bank of desks that leads you towards her lab where she makes the bubbles. Now, these bubbles that we're talking about Just to be clear, this is not the stuff that could give you an embolism. The bubbles that Eleanor makes have to be small enough to fit through the smallest blood vessel, or even smaller than that, to be able to penetrate tissue. We're talking 1 to 2 micrometers, so in our classic human hair example of small things, we're talking about 1/100th of a strand of human hair.
Making bubbles at this scale is quite tricky. The quick and dirty method, you like, the if is the one that's used in industry. We actually use ultrasound to manufacture the microbubbles. And really, it's a little bit like a cappuccino machine. We pump the gas we want to end up in the bubbles through a liquid. That liquid contains the material we want the bubbles to get coated with. And then we use ultrasound basically to shake it very, very hard and create this sort of micro foam that we can then extract the bubbles from. Alternatively, if we want to get much more control over the microbubbles, we use microfluidic technology. So these are tiny little channels, and we are literally blowing the bubbles one by one. So it's a bit like the sort of bubble wand you would have used when you were a child, but on the micro scale.
Her very well-ventilated lab has a series of rooms with heavy black cloths covering all the delicate machinery. There's the predictable things, a giant hood vent, a centrifuge, a ultrasound machine in the corner.
Can I ask you my MTV Cribs question?
Yes.
Where does the magic happen? Part 2, can I see inside your fridge?
We just walked past the fridge. Do we have a fridge in here? Here's a fridge. I'm hoping it might actually be tidy. This is a freezer, so I'm not going to keep it open. What we're looking at is drawers full of the materials that we coat the microbubbles with. So these materials are surfactants, like washing up liquid, but they're the materials that you actually find coating biological cells, the so-called phospholipids. So we use very biocompatible materials. Most of the stuff we use is actually derived from egg yolk or soybeans.
And as for that magic,
what is this?
So this is a very big tank of water. The reason it's so large is that we need to be able to create ultrasound fields that are not disturbed by the surroundings. So we don't want it reflecting off the sides of the tank. And we also want to make sure things don't heat up too quickly, because actually some of the ultrasound transducers we use are very powerful, so they will create a lot of heating. So we have a large volume of water to make sure that doesn't happen.
Eleanor's really underselling this. This is about the size of a large aquarium, and it sits on a big aluminum frame that's attached to 3 sets of motors, and there are cables linking the tank to nearby computers.
It does look pretty fancy. Really, it allows us to manipulate any of the components in the tank in 3D. So
what will happen is the team will put a piece of tissue or an organ inside a plastic box that will have windows on it. And that box is acoustically as well as optically transparent, so ultrasound and light can pass through it.
And so we'll actually use the same scanners that you'd see in a hospital to watch where the bubbles are and see what they're doing.
From the initial idea of using bubbles to deliver drugs, to figuring out how to manufacture the bubbles and making sure that they were properly encapsulating the drug, to testing in cells, in tissues, in animals, and then ethical testing, it's now 10 years on. Eleanor hopes next year, or early 2018, they'll have their first clinical trial.
And then I personally find totally amazing the fact that this tiny little object oscillating in the body can change the permeability of a cell and enable drug delivery. And you know, we don't understand that process properly. We're trying to. So again, just at the basic science end, there's so much fascinating material to look at. And then I genuinely think it has the potential to change the way we deliver drugs, and that's a pretty good reason to come into work.
And while this work is challenging and groundbreaking, it can also be emotional. Eleanor's mother, father-in-law, and aunt have all had cancer. Watching them go through the pain of chemotherapy and believing that there has to be a better way of treatment keeps her going.
I think you believe that the goal justifies the means, or justifies the journey, and it's a long journey. And yep, there are days when I do sort of wonder, goodness, is this ever going to end? And gosh, what if something goes wrong at the last minute? You just have to take that risk. I will feel that we've achieved something when we actually see something positive happening in patients, and until that point, we're in development.
So right now, the idea is to inject bubbles into the bloodstream to circulate and deliver drugs. But one day, could we be looking at maybe a bubbly drink to fight cancer? Well, Eleanor says, maybe.
If you'd asked me 3 years ago whether you could deliver it in a drink, I'd have said absolutely not. Since working with a few colleagues and then also looking in the literature, there is some evidence that bubbles will get across the stomach and can actually make it intact into the bloodstream. We're trying to understand this better at the moment, so I think at the moment I'd have to say, maybe. But yeah, we're working on it.
This podcast was brought to you by Oxford Sparks for the University of Oxford, with music by John Lyons, and a special thanks to Dr. Eleanor Stride. Tell us what you think about this podcast. You can go to Twitter, tweet us at Oxford Sparks. You can find us on Facebook, and oh yeah, we have a website. It's got a lot of cool stuff on it. Go to oxfordsparks.ox.ac.uk. I'm Emily Elias, and next time on the podcast, we are drawing from the Christmas classic, It's a Wonderful Life, to ask, what would the world be like if parasitoid wasps never existed? Bye for now.